Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today, I'll be interviewing Gianberto Scatalon. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify. How did it feel to you when you were told you had a diagnosis of PTSD? What was that experience like for you?
Ever since I was young, I've always liked the idea of psychology. I've read a lot of books on psychology. Whatever was on the self-help section, a lot of them are based on psychology ideas. And there was a time in between 2013 and 2014 where I was living in California with my current wife. And I was going to school. And I started drinking, and I started drinking in such a way that I realized if I keep doing this, it's going to become a problem. And I took myself to the VA, and I said, I need help. I need help. And I couldn't diagnose myself, but I knew that it had something to do with my experiences due to the fact that I was always hyper alert. I had dreams. I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, covered in sweat. And then I realized to myself, okay, drinking is not a long-term solution. So I need to go talk to someone. I knew the value of having the right therapist, because with any relationship, it has to be someone that you respect and admire. And it just so happened that the person who was assigned to be my therapist was someone who, the way he carried himself and the way he talked to me, I was able to open up and share what I was feeling.
Gotcha. So when you were drinking, were you doing it to calm you down, or what was your, you know?
I believe that when it comes to liquor, it's one of those things that it could relax you, but at the same time, if you're not careful, it turns on you. I came up with this saying, this is why they call it spirits. And at the time I was interested in learning about whiskey, and I bought all these different brands of whiskey, and I wanted to be a little bit of an expert on whiskey. and I learned a lot of things, but then I was doing it every day. I was going to school, my wife was working. So I would go to school, come back, watch a little something on Netflix, and I would drink to the point where I was tipsy. And then I would look at my clock and my watch, and I'd be like, okay, my wife will be coming home in 2 hours. I better stop drinking now, clean up, brush my teeth, take a shower. And then this went on for like 4 months. And even to this day, my wife is shocked that she never noticed it.
Wow.
And I had my routine, but I knew that this was not going to be a long-term solution to it.
Wow. When I'm hearing you talk, it reminds me of, I saw this interview of a former basketball player called Pee Wee Kirkman. And he, mm-hmm. I think he grew up in Harlem, New York, and he was a really good basketball player. He was known throughout the state, of course, and then he was drafted into the NBA, but he was also like a gangster. He was like money, a money shark, a money. He would loan. I guess he called it Sherlocking was the term. He would loan people money, and you know they would have to pay back with interest. And he just kept flipping and flipping his money. So he was making so much money until the NBA. During that time, I think it was the 70s, 60s or 70s when he was drafted. Mm-hmm. They weren't making as much money as they make now. So, you know, he didn't continue on with that because he was making so much money outside. But he, you know, he went to jail and that kind of stuff. But he was talking about the experience that he had with his father. So he said his father got hooked on drugs because people asked him why he never stole drugs, you know, got into drugs. And he talked about his experience with his father. He said his father got hooked and his father was his hero, you know, before he got hooked on drugs. So he said that his father was hooked and he was doing things. And one day he went home and his father was talking to him. And his father said, he said, you have people that are weak and who will use drugs and they'll never stop. And you have people who are strong and use drugs and they can stop anytime they want. And his dad being his hero, he said, so which one are you? And he said, when are you going to stop? And he asked his son, he said, when do you want me to stop? And Pee-wee told him, he said, now. He said, so his father locked himself in the room for 1 or 2 weeks, I believe. And every day after school, Pee-wee would run to his room to check on his father to see if he was there. And every day his father was still there. And he went through withdrawal symptoms and all these different things. And sure enough, his father was there and he kept going through it. And he said that experience was that he said that we can do anything we want to do if we have the inner fortitude to go through with it. And we know, of course, the subconscious mind is what imprints us and we are operating primarily off our subconscious mind. So whatever we imprint onto our subconscious mind is what we will do impulsively, right? So he talked about that and it was just amazing when you talk about the experiences that you've had through the PTSD, the alcohol use. There was something within you that was guiding you and telling you you had that strength. Wherever it came from, it was there because not everybody would go the path that you went. You reached out. Some people will turn inward and just stay that way. When you knew there was something going on with you, you reached out and there was a lifeline there. When you started dabbling in alcohol, you reached out and then you did the inner work yourself. So there's always something that we have throughout our lives. And sometimes we have to gain more of those skills in order to be strong.
Yes, yes, that is true. And I know that there's a lot with the subconscious mind. There's a quote that I just remember from Carl Jung where he says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. And I began to be open to the possibility that there was a lot of work to be done inside of me. And I think that's also what helped me not to, this is what helped me to seek out for help. I knew that there was a lot of work for me to do and I wasn't going to be able to do it alone. And then of course you have to go through the processes of therapy and be able to discover what's hurting, what's happening. And then also not all of it was PTSD from, I mean, a lot of it was PTSD from the war, but also revisiting my childhood and revisiting my relationship with my father and feeling that feeling of like, am I enough? You know, sometimes I feel like I'm not enough. And I think a lot of people prefer to just do something else other than to explore the darkness or the tunnels inside of you.
True. True. And you said that from a kid, you realized that you like engaging in conversation with people. How was that gift? Because it sounds like a gift. How was that gift nurtured as you were growing up?
Ever since I was a little boy, I was always waving at people. I was always saying hola or hello in Spanish. It was just my nature. And it was always rewarded by people saying how adorable, this is a beautiful kid, so polite, so lovely. And even to this day, I just have this, there's something about me that when I show up with a smile, people immediately, they open up and they tell me things that they wouldn't tell a relative. So I think, yeah, like you said, it's a gift that if I open up to someone and I smile, somehow they feel safe. And I think that's wonderful. And that's what my friends noticed that was gone when they told me you don't smile like you used to.
That was the exact question I was going to ask you. Point I was going to make. I guess that's how your friends were able to notice so quickly that something changed mm-hmm. within you, going from a person who's engaging and smiling and then now not doing those things.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally going from light to darkness. And I believe that there is light and darkness in all of us, but I guess becoming your own free agent is realizing where do you want to dwell the most, in the dark or in the light.
True. True. That is correct. We definitely have light and dark in us, and that's what makes us, and whatever we lean more towards, that's what people will ultimately see. But we definitely mm-hmm. have a dichotomy within us, and that's the human experience, no doubt, for sure. So how would you describe a conversation facilitator?
Okay, so I learned this. This is what I learned from going to therapy every 2 weeks for 10 months, that the therapist created the space for me to speak. And he never gave me any tips, because at the end of the day, the work is for each individual to do. No one can help you. No one can rescue you. They can just facilitate or create the space. And basically for me would be to reach out to someone and say, if you need someone to listen, I could do that for you. And allow them to speak as much as possible, because it is when people speak and listen to themselves speak, they realize how much of what they're saying is not totally true. Like, have you ever had a thought that sounded so clever in your mind, but the moment you open your mouth, you realize, not it. So I believe that if we're able to create that space for other people, because there's all these stigmas about going to see a psychologist, or there's this... sometimes it's the money, or sometimes we reach out to a friend or family and they say, hey, this is what I'm going through. And immediately they go on with the advice. And it's like, we don't need advice. We need to speak and articulate what we're feeling so we're better able to articulate what we're feeling. And once we know, we can label properly what I'm feeling today is disappointment or anger or frustration. Now that's the beginning of your self-work. So yeah, that's what I do. I just listen. I provide the space for people to speak, and then they get to decide what the next step is on their own.
Yeah. So what's your early experience in you utilizing your gift, and it helped a friend or whoever it was? What's your early experience with that?
I remember, well, when I was, my earliest experience, I only remember, let me tell you, one story comes to mind, like just, at the beginning of my training, in basic training. I mean, I was 32, that's probably not one of my earliest experience, but I would talk to some of the new guys that I met. And then they would tell me their stories. And I remember one guy said, man, you're a guru. You should be a guru. You have all this advice, all these ideas. And I'm like, I'm just repeating what other great people have said. You know, I was quoting Carl Jung. I was quoting Wayne Dyer. I love quotes. So I was quoting all these different people that I've heard before. And the knowledge is out there. I know I have this gift for remembering quotes, and somehow people always tell me, wow, what you're saying is amazing. And like, it's not me. It's someone else who said it, but I'm just, those are the memories that come to mind. Just, I'm able to quote stuff.
So when did you realize that people opened up to you, and what did that feel like to you when you realized that this was operating? Because I think it's, clearly looking from the outside, that it's a gift, because not everyone, and you've seen people interact with others throughout your life, mm-hmm. not everyone, when they walk into a room and engage in conversation, people open up to them. Some people like really clam up when some people engage them for whatever reason. So what was that like for you?
I mean, to me, it was normal. And looking back now, I realized that there was something special. And like you said, it's a gift. I remember being a teenager, and I grew up in a religious home, and we would go to church, and old ladies from the church that I would go to would come just during the week. And then they just, we want to drop off these cookies for Giampiero. And I have like three other siblings, but the cookies were always for Giampiero. So somehow the way I greeted them, the way I waved at them, the way I smiled at them, somehow they felt special. And, but that, to me, that was normal. Just, I want to be loved. And I treated people with the same desire, with the same energy. I want people mm-hmm. to love me. I maybe it has something to do with my father not being in the picture. And I always needed that love and what do you call it?
Accept.
Accept. That people accepted me. And I think because I treated people that way, even with a smile or a wave, that made a difference. I believe that some people can walk into a room and light up the room or just put a really dark cloud in the room without saying anything.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
And I give you another example, like when was probably about 5 years ago. I was traveling and I was at the, what was it? I was in an airport and I was going through the TSA. And sometimes I get stressed out and I know that I go from like happy to like a sour face. And then I see a TSA woman looking at me from far away and she's walking towards me. And I realize, oh, I must be stressed out. She just saw the sour face and now she's going to talk to me. And immediately I said to myself, turn on the sun. And I smile and I could just see her face from far away walking, focus on me, and she sees me smile. She couldn't help but to smile. And then when she just got close to me, she said, how are you? And I said, great, how are you? And then she just smiled really brightly and she's like, okay. And she just walked away.
Wow. That's something else. Like, it's not outside, it's inside. Everything we're combating and wrestling with is usually inside of us. So just like you mentioned earlier, when a person could walk in a room and the environment changes without even opening their mouths, because what's being carried within is being engaging the room, right, at a deeper level. So it's important when something happens, if I turn outward and blame other people and blame situations, my world and my life will never change. Because I am saying that it's not me and there's nothing I can do. It's because of these circumstances. But if I'm able to introspectively look and not blame myself at all, but just take it for what it is. And if I did something awry, I can always be empowered because I can do something to change my life, whether it be reach out for help or do some work within by reading or whatever. That's the way that we should look inside out. We should always live our lives inside out. And it seems like that's how you're living inside out.
Yes. I believe that's the only way to lead your life. Because, I listened to different podcasts and one of the podcasts that I've listened to was, the Joe Rogan Experience. And one of the things that he says, life is sort of like a journey, and you need to become the hero of your own story. And the truth is, you have the power to rescue you, but you have to be able to look inside, because the answers are inside.
Yes. Yes, true. I agree. Everything we need is already in our lives. It's just awaiting our recognition of it. We have riches within us, but we just have to recognize it. It could be, you know, we have all the diamonds if we're looking for diamonds. Imagine having it all in your house, but looking outside. Dropping yes. your keys on the inside of your house and going into the front yard to look for it. That's crazy. But the human experience, we do some interesting things for sure.
Yes, we do. We don't want to acknowledge how great we are. And I know we've been taught to be kind, not to be prideful, to give. But love your neighbors as you love yourself means that yes. take care of you. Take care of you. And sometimes we haven't been properly trained to take care of us first. That way we realize, hey, you know, I'm going to let my inner light shine so I can help other people. But if you're empty and if you're in darkness, that is what's going to show up all around you.
And you help people release emotional pain through genuine conversation.
Yes, and that's one thing that I realize. I love to talk, but it's just like talk less, listen more. Talk less, listen more, because these people need to, in a way, purge themselves from all those things that they don't even understand. And like I said, we may even speak poorly. My job is not to understand them. My job is to just be the space for them to speak. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Because what worked for me may not work for them.
True. That's a really good insight, because every person is different. And like you said, we all have different tools. And just because something worked a particular way for you doesn't mean that exact thing will work for them. So being able to have an environment, provide an environment. We talked about this moments ago, by when someone walks into a room, we're carrying everything we are into the room. Every time we go somewhere, we are carrying all of our experiences. Everything with us is being carried into that room. So when someone is, someone comes to you, or you're trying to help someone, the environment matters, because you don't have to say anything. And when that person comes and engages you, they know whether they're accepted or not. And I'm sure you've had experiences mm-hmm. when you were talking to someone, and maybe sometimes you would seemingly fumble over your words or just feel a resistance by talking to them. Mm-hmm. It's only because that person wasn't receiving you, or the environment wasn't right.
Yes. And this is how I've been able to realize that advice, it's mainly autobiographical. And this is why I say what worked for me may not work for them. And sometimes we get fixated in trying to get them to see how we saw it. And it's like, no, let them speak. They need to articulate what they're feeling. And that's the beginning to their journey, being able to articulate what they're feeling. And I think we do more. We can bless the life of another just by being there, fully present, listening, more than trying to give them advice.
True. So do you have any social media platforms that you operate on?
Yes, I recently created this landing page. It's called Apex Conversations, and where people can reach out to me if they really want, if they want someone just to listen to them. I could do that for them. I have my Facebook, Gian Piero M. Scatalon, and I have Instagram, G. Scatalon. And my main point is to put out some quotes, put out some ideas, but mainly if somebody needs someone to talk to, I could be the listening ear. And if anything, if that's not what they want to do, at least I want to suggest that people, if they don't find someone they trust, if they cannot identify someone they trust to whom they can speak, write your thoughts down. Write them down and then examine that. And because to me, writing, it's very similar to thinking. Mm,
good. So Jean-Pierre, that's a wonderful name. Do you know the meaning of your name?
I think it's two names put together. It's an Italian name. I think it's the combination of the Italian version of John and Ooh. Peter together. Gianpiero. Wow. Yeah, it's an Italian name. My grandparents immigrated from Italy to Peru. And then my father was born in Peru. But yeah, it's a Italian family name. But I'm Peruvian. I don't speak any Italian. I just have a fancy name.
Sure. Yeah, I know John and Peter in the Bible are some really, powerful people. So, yeah.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting. There's something about a name, once you own your name, in the book or the play Man of La Mancha, where Don Quixote... or Man of La Mancha, there's this woman whose name was Oldanza, I believe that was her name. And then he changed her name and he gave her a name Dulcinea, and which means like sweetness or something like that. But there's something about a name when you change somebody's name or somebody lives up to the meaning of their name, then they have something to aim at, and then their whole life can change.
I agree. So... what is your one to grow on? Meaning, what valuable insight would you like to leave our audience with?
My insight is based on that I grew up listening to the expression, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. And my own personal twist to that is that you are the light at the end of the tunnel. You've always been that light, because all of us have this ideal self that we wish we could be. And every time we're going through trials and tribulations, through darkness, becoming a little bit more like that person we wish we could be is that light. And we become a little more like that person, and we're able to navigate through those tunnels, and we see the light, and the light is us.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.